Greetings and salutations, everyone. Welcome to episode 96 of the Blind Bargains Cast. I'm Joe, and over there is JJ. How you doing there, sir?
You always say salutations. It's very, that's a very old-school, old-fashioned type word.
I read Charlotte's Web.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what that's from?
They're gotcha. Well, okay. Smorgasbord, orgasbord. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, pretty damn. Ladies and gentlemen, on this particular program, we actually have some news. We have a tip. We have, of course, the last word, but we also have some stuff in the middle.
Oh, yes, we do this week. We actually have quite a few things. Continuing on our coverage from the CTE BVI conference, and this is like saying that acronym. It's actually a California Transcribers Educators Conference near San Francisco. Last week, we brought you an interview from IREAT on a new index embosser. This week, we are bringing you typing. Yes, David Pinto with Yes Accessible. It's a program that's been around for a while, but perhaps you may have not heard of, called Typability, and we will do as part of that interview, and we'll do the rest of it coming up soon, because that one actually went on for a minute, and we were doing a bit of a demo. And I'm blending with a Nutribullet. So back to the, as we call it, the Blind Bargains Test Kitchen, and making smoothies.
All the carrots are gone. Oh, and yum, yum, yum.
Kale and spinach. Yum, yum.
I remember that Typability is actually working for Magic now, and I think that's kind of cool. Typability is really neat in that it really does give you a lot of incentive to keep learning typing, so that's going to be definitely interesting.
There's a lot to it, as you'll hear in that demo. There's a lot going on there, so definitely something to check out.
It was one of those that Eric Dammer used to show during presentations in Texas back in 2008, so I remember it well, and it's changed a lot since then.
Yeah, he's definitely, it's up to version, I think 4.3 is the current one, so we definitely been keeping it updated with a lot of different features and lessons, so really cool stuff, and you know, a program that not everyone has heard of, so we try to bring you things like that.
Now, something else that has changed a lot since its initial release would happen to be Windows 10.
It's that week.
You might have actually been downloading it now. It was released on April 11th, although Microsoft made it available for people ahead of time through the, the media creators tool that you could use to create ISOs, or you could go ahead and download it from some super secret places. And then they got replaced by text files. Paul Thurrott tweeted those, and then they got kind of disappeared. But now it is official for those who are actually interested. What I find really fascinating, there's a bunch of people on Twitter who didn't like Windows 10 or are not Microsoft fans who couldn't help but talk about how awesome they thought Windows 10 was and that they had to do the install with the narrator and, of course, play with the new Braille. But that's just really scratching the surface of what's inside Windows 10. But you might be intimidated by the concept of upgrading to Windows 10. Looks like JJ has us a guide here on a simple, easy approach to doing the upgrade.
I think it's pretty simple. You know, so you and I come from different positions, right? You've been upgrading to insider builds, which are the beta builds, every few days or weeks or minutes, whenever.
Fast ring. I might actually pull my main machine off the fast ring. Now we're into Redstone 3, which will be the next release.
That's the next one? See, here's already on the next thing. I actually hadn't upgraded Windows for a while. Don't take my advice. You know, I just kind of was waiting and trying to, like, I'll just wait for my new laptop. But then this came out. I was like, you know what? We might as well upgrade to creators. Instead of even waiting for Windows updates, there is a really simple updater tool that you can download. That's a legitimate thing. You just click on the file and it'll run it and it'll start downloading it kind of in the background while you're sitting there. And then it'll take you through. And as Joe said, yes, narrator starts to show up right during the update. And you can see it getting better over through your eyes as you are, through your ears as you are upgrading. It starts becoming more responsive and you have different voices coming in while the update's happening. And you can actually use narrator through the update. One thing to note, control Windows Enter, eh?
Yes, that was huge because apparently people were accidentally turning on narrator when they went to use the projector keys, which threw some people off because it was, you know,
yeah, they would go search the for narrator on Google and you see, what do you see? How do you get rid of this thing?
Exactly. So they would go to hit the P key and their pinky would slip over to the enter key and they would turn on narrator and they wouldn't know how to turn it off. So that's why Microsoft went ahead and turned that into a 3-key operation. Also, remember, you can still use Cortana. Now Cortana actually works during install, depending on the hardware. And that, and remember, that is a key piece of this, is that if you're running an older computer, you still might not have the audio working for narrator during setup. So newer computers, you're pretty good. That's always been the issue, and this has always been something that I've had to explain on previous podcasts as well as social media. That part of Windows' greatest strength, but also its weaknesses, legacy. So you can run Windows on a computer for like ever, practically, unless it's Windows Vista, which actually hit end of life yesterday. Yeah,
so sad.
But the idea is that if you're newer hardware, then you have these drivers that'll work. If you have legacy drivers that don't necessarily rely on USB and the like, that's going to be the problem. And it was always the problem with providing a talking installer. Now, people always wanted that, but it was very difficult to provide support until there was critical mass in the hardware. Of course,
and you have that now. I mean,
exactly.
Well, a computer, especially if you bought a computer pre-built as, and you didn't try to go out and get all the parts yourself, which is probably most of you, everything within the past several years is going to have generic enough sound card drivers that they will work with at least the internal card. The one thing that I was able to do back in the day that I guess you could do still if you really needed to is plug in one of those little $5 USB sound cards.
Yeah.
And those a lot of times will work as a supported audio device. So if nothing else works, you could do that. Yes, there is an article that I wrote up kind of after my experience over on Blind Bargains that kind of talks you through the process. It's pretty simple. I throw in a few of the narrator commands, because if you're like me, you really had no idea what narrator commands to think about.
They're not super intuitive at first either.
Well, no, you know, some of them are. Caps right and left arrow to go by item makes a lot of sense. So since you have time during the install, I hit caps lock plus F1 to look through the list of commands to try to figure out a few basic things. And that's how I was heard as well. Like, you know, might as well, while I'm stuck using narrator for the install, since you can't use your other screen reader, but at least I have a screen reader. Hey, so I was kind of figuring that out. So we explained that. And Braille, which you have to download, but it is there. It's in a beta form, and you have to go to the Ease Access Center. We have those instructions. We link to, there's a whole new chapter in the narrator manual. That
people don't realize, and I didn't at first when this first started to roll out, is that there are ease of access settings that are not in narrator. Like, you know, it's always in your alt tab situation, so you could always, you know, alt tab and go into narrator. There are actually controls that are not there that are actually in your control panel or your settings, as it's really what it is now. So Windows I, and then going over to ease of access. And then that first tab is your narrator, and then you can find the Braille settings there. So yeah, that wasn't super like, oh,
well, wait, it's kind of like the non-voiceover settings on your iPhone or other accessibility, the settings on your Android. So you know, there's other things that perhaps aren't as related to narrator specifically, but Braille is there. You can just have to download a thing and enable it because it's beta. I'm assuming once it's not beta, it'll just be there and you won't download it, but that's just an assumption.
And they're giving back to LibLui and other open source licenses that they're using, which are listed there under the Braille section, and they are taking feedback. So there were a lot of
displays.
The list of displays.
I need to go through this and it's like, okay, is there something that we haven't? Lesson. Yeah, I mean, there's a few on there. Like, what the heck is that?
Uh-huh.
You know,
hey, a few international. Don't.
Yeah, I mean, definitely some international ones. Ones that, you know, we don't probably talk about here much, and so we have to look through that. I mean, I need to just kind of scout the list of Braille displays. It does have contracted input. The scarier
list I've ever seen is if you've ever installed a Dolphin product, then you see like this crazy list of Braille displays that are supported.
I was thinking the old WindowEye's speech synthesizer list, which has like the Accent SA and the
Pronto,
Echo PC.
Rabbit.
Soft Verge. Okay, I'm not sure if it does that.
Yes.
It's Speakalyzer.
Oh, my goodness.
Still support the Speak Out.
Now, anyway, there are other products that are upgrading themselves. Of course, NVDA had their update not too long ago. JAWS has released their update that works better with the Creator's Update. So if you have JAWS 18, that's a free update. If you want to go grab it now to be able to have that. Yep. Along with it comes support for a new Alva Braille driver. We were just talking about Braille. That seems to be here in the latest patch from Freedom Scientific on JAWS 18.
And a lot of Google Docs stuff, Google Docs, Google Sheets. Definitely they've been working. They added a bunch of hotkeys in the Google app to do specific things like reading certain information if you're in Sheets or in Slides and things like that. So definitely trying to make that a little bit better. There's also some specific support for the spell checker in Google Docs. So you have a case now of an AT company throwing in specific support for a web app, which is something that we weren't seeing as much before, but obviously Google Docs is huge, and NVDA and JAWS, they're definitely supporting them.
That's a thingy, as we've talked about Chromebooks and other things. I have been watching a little bit of the web community, especially the Access web community, talking about tipping points and standards, and there's a lot of conversation now about the chicken and the egg, and people starting to use Chrome more than Firefox for testing, and how responsive it is. There's, of course, some steadfast momentum with others who feel very strongly about Firefox and NVDA. But it's one of those things where I remember what Eric Damry told me about 10 years ago, and he said to me, we make this to work on 90% of the computers with 90% of the programs 90% of the time. So there has to be that critical mass for an application or a program to reach in order to really start seeing screen reader support from all the manufacturers out there. Chrome seems to be getting that way. But
Chrome took a while. Right. You're right. I mean, there was definitely a lag of time, and it wasn't all on the screen reader side. Google needed to add some things over time.
Correct.
Chrome is down to the point where I know, at least with NVDA, and I believe with JAWS and others too, you can use it. And jumping from Firefox to Chrome is definitely not as big of a leap as jumping from IE to Firefox. You'll notice a lot of similarities.
Edge?
Jumping from Fire, that's a big jump.
Then I'm going to suggest Narrator work with Edge. That might be a better.
It's working. There's some improvements, but
again, it's a chicken in the egg foundation of the debate, and so you have to wait for the screen reader support to mature. But the maturity has to come from the program in order for the screen reader to come back and support that. And to be fair, for a screen reader manufacturer, they get requests for, can you make this better all the time? So you've got Office 365, you've got Windows, you've got still Internet Explorer, you've got certain web pages and apps. And of course, that's before we get into WCAG, HTML5, and all the other standards that change. So it's not a simple thing by any stretch of the imagination, and it's always a minefield for developers of any kind.
I wouldn't be putting a lot of, if you're a user and you're using Internet Explorer now, I would start looking at other things though at this point. Not just because it's slow and just it's a goofy old thing to be using, but you're either going to end up going towards Edge as it gets more accessible, or Chrome or Firefox. And if you haven't, if you're worried about jumping web browsers, I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised. The screen readers are not, using JAWS or NVDA and Firefox or Chrome is not going to be a largely different experience. You're going to have all the same web navigation commands as you do in IE, and I bet you're going to find it's faster. So if you're one of those IE users, take the challenge and report back, feedback@blindbargains.com, and let us know.
Yeah, absolutely. The days of one screen reader or one operating system are way over. There is no one ring to rule them all anymore. You got to be versatile in a lot. Not just saying that as pundits who do this for a living, don't get us wrong. The actual basic user these days is actually having to really expand their knowledge on what they do and what they use, whether it be Internet Explorer for their banking site, but they might use Firefox or Chrome for social media.
Well, and not even that. Some things will work better on, say, your iOS or Android device versus your computer.
Sure.
I have this whole step of processes. If a website isn't working with Firefox, MD, like, all right, let's try Chrome. Let's try it on my iPad. Let's try it on, do they have an app? Mm-hmm. So you have four or five different shoots or, chances to perhaps find, somebody that's going to work with it excessively. And sometimes you'll get down to option 3 or 4 and it will work just by some quirk of luck.
Now, you have heard us talk about HIMSS on one or two occasions, our sponsor of this very fine program, not this week, but last week and next week. But have you ever thought about going over to South Korea, visiting Jenny Axler over there at HIMSS International? Because you could. She could actually come over here if she wanted to, but she has an American passport. And, you know, the downside about that is South Koreans have passports with Braille. Check that out.
Huh? Look at that. Yeah, at least as of a few days from now. And you're going to get all sorts of information. We had a tweet that came in. Why would you want Braille on your passport? Well, your passport has some personally identifiable information, like a passport number. And an expiration date, which is certainly important information to have. And perhaps you're on a website or on a place where you need to enter in that ID to as verification. Of course, having access to that passport number is a big thing. You know, there are some examples, I believe, out there of credit card companies that will do Braille numbers for you. But I know the list of things is pretty simple or pretty small. And they're doing it with stickers, which I think is an interesting approach. So it sounds, you know, that's probably a little more low cost, but it's a way to do it.
Absolutely. And there's space on the passport to do that. There's ample space.
Or even if they handed you a card that wasn't stuck to it, I would be fine with that. You know, somebody needs to step up. One of our accessibility rock star companies, you know, in case any of you are listening, I'd love to see Amazon gift cards or Apple gift cards. I could see one of those too. Let's look at it. Can you do a Braille version of the gift card? You know, getting that gift card number to me when it's not electronic. So it's possible. We know the tech is there at this point. And if people could do that as an option. See,
we've given a nonprofit something to go after right there. I'm just saying, you know.
A nonprofit could do it, but what are you gonna, then you gotta order from Amazon, have it shipped to the nonprofit, and then have it shipped out type.
Sure, why not?
You know.
Or they have it available at convention or something to that effect, or some of their own local area advocacy situation. Except
for, here's your $50 Amazon gift card that we'll sell to you in Braille for $77. That's great. We just don't think we want that.
Well, that's why they would listen to Blind Bargains and then, you know, buy them, you know, when they're on sale at other places, like the PayPal one that we have up now over at Blind Bargains on Twitter.
Yep. So, not PayPal, Echo.
Oh, is it Echo? Okay.
And let's see, it goes to the 16th. So if you're getting this quickly,
you can get that.
I ran up to my Echo and I just said, hey, Amazon, I'm not going to, well, I've already said it, it's too late now. Order a $25 gift card and it's going to send it to me and it's going to give me an additional $5 code. And I buy enough stuff from Amazon anyway, I'll use it. So there you go. Free $5 from Amazon.
Definitely. Now, here's one that we kind of already knew. We talked about a couple of podcasts, seems like at the beginning of the year. Learning Ally. No, I'm being funny. Learning Ally is coming out with their Android app and adding more features to things that they're already doing. Didn't we? We did have an idea that this was coming, didn't we?
They said it was coming, yeah. We need, like, Patrick to throw in. There needs to be, like, a bowling ball sound effect every time you say Learning Alley. But
oh, I know. It's Ricky used to say stumble down the Learning Alley. That was when they first changed over and VoiceOver was reading it really slowly.
Oh, boy. Well, I mean, it's still better. I mean, you just got to think about what your name is. Anyway, yes, the app was available for pretty much everything else. iOS, Mac, Windows, Chrome, not Android. They do have an Android now. So the app is free. The membership is not, unless you're one of those pre-legacy 1994, like me, Learning Ally clients. I guess I could get this if I wanted to. And you can read books and you can use what they call voice text, which is where the book will be read out with human narration and the text will be displayed on the screen. So it's out there now for Android. So it was the missing platform. So hopefully it means it should also get over to the Kindles and things like that, which makes a lot of sense for them.
Yeah, one more blindness product or that for those who are having problems with print handicaps on the Android platform. Just another one of those things of what isn't there. You know, what program that we use regularly on iOS hasn't made it over. So definitely one of those. Hey, did you happen to see that Bixby won't be working with the S8
launch? It's so sad. Yeah, this is the voice assistant for the Samsung Galaxy S8. I guess it's just not, Bixby is not ready yet.
Well, what can I say?
I got to fix my Cortana because, of course, the creator's update. Now it's back to searching with Bing.
Oh, yes, that is very true. You have to go in and change all your defaults back. Yeah, that is
yeah, very you true. Can fix some of that during the setup process, which but not that apparently. And you know,
well, you have to do that really quickly because you might want to look up some of the items that are available for auction. Over 100 items are available for auction.
Oh, you know what? I was going to tell you this in before the show, but it's not that you mentioned it. You guys got to go to the Blind Bargain site on occasion or get the app because that is that ended Thursday.
Oh, did it?
The Seeing Eye does this annual auction every year, and it came out after last week's show, before this week's show. So sometimes these things happen, and lots of cool deals to be had. So definitely a reason to follow us on Twitter or get the app and all that, because sometimes stories happen in a manner that falls, you know, where we just can't get them in on a show. So, sorry if you missed it. Congratulations if you won something. Maybe you won the AT Guys $50 gift certificate. And we'll be finding out soon who won that. And they can get something wonderful, wonderful from AT Guys, such as the voices, the sappy voices for vocals. See what I did there? The sappy vocalizer voices or eloquence voices, which you could use with Windows 10 Creator. They're available through Code Factory, and they are available through us over at atguys.com. They work on up to 3 computers at once. There's been some discussion in the past about resetting them. What happens if you lose a key? Well, we've had that happen with a few different customers with Code Factory, and if you need a reset, that's not a problem. Of course, as long as you're using it on the up and up, they're happy to do that. They'll pretty much take the computers that you are currently using and remove the IDs from them and let you start over. So if you end up in a situation where you need to reset your license keys, you can do that. So there's no worries of losing your licenses as you are moving between your old computer and your new one or upgrading to Creators. They recognize that these things happen as you upgrade your computer and you might lose a key. But if you want to try out the sappy vocalizer voices or the eloquence voices, you can go to atguys.com and you can get a 7-day trial of those and you can play with them and you can get the eloquence for $69, the vocalizer for $115. If you're just an NVDA user, you can get an NVDA add-on with both eloquence and vocalizer for $69. So there could be voices in your head and lots of them, lots of cool stuff. Some cool voices from Microsoft as well, so you can play with them as well with the Creators update. I like having the...
Did we sell out of all the pink Aftershocks?
No.
Because you might also be interested in...
Yeah? What?
Other customers who purchased this also purchased...
Oh. we need some more pink thing. We sold pink OtterBox cases for about 3 minutes, which was funny. I tweeted that we got a couple in, and Doug from Speed Dots just replied back, "All right, you guys can keep the market on that one. We're not going to fight you for the pinks." So
we're announcing a partnership with Fashionability, and no.
Yes, new fashionable. Definitely. Hey, you know, hey, people ask
some
us
people
about
would
colors.
Do that with you know, some people are going to get the clear cases for their red iPhones. Mm-hmm. They could have the pink.
We get asked about colors a lot. You're like, oh, blind people don't care about colors, but we definitely people ask us. You know, so we put on everything what colors, and it's always a discussion because we don't always have the capacity to order 4 or 5 colors of something like, you know, the speakers that we sell or headsets. So we usually try to pick 1 or 2. So it's always a discussion about what's the best color, or which one do you guys think? What's, you know, we want one that's usually neutral enough because we don't want to scare away an entire gender. It's a big thing. So
I am not just visually impaired, I am fashion impaired, but hey, that is definitely something that is my burden.
Well, it's a hot pink, Joe, so I'm told that's it's a fashionable,
it's gonna stand
pink.
Right out, you're not gonna miss it. Well, you know, for the low vision people who
you want
might misplace
out.
Something that might work out just as well,
you right know? You could attach a tile.
Bright orange, bright yellow. Tied yeah. around. I You're actually good. Had a hot pink around my suitcase for a while because it was easy to spot on the blue. So I guess I really shouldn't say much more other than we have more to come on episode 96. We're going to go into the test kitchen. We're going to talk about typing. And then, of course, we'll come around the other side and talk about, of course, sound off. Then a tip. And, of course, the last word. All that
the
and
tip,
more.
Then a sound off or sound off, then a tip.
Well,
or?
You know,
mix we'll a coin.
Match. It's like it's like Granimals. Just mix and match. We're getting to color and fashion. This is what happens.
All right.
I start mentioning Sears. Oh, well. Episode 96 has so much more right after this.
We are here at the CTE BVI conference near San Francisco, California, with more coverage of
conventions and conferences, and I have found David Pinto, who is the founder of Yes Accessible, who you guys have made a really cool talking typing program. David, welcome to the podcast.
It's great to be here and to be interviewed by you.
Well, cool. This is something it's been around for a while, but I've actually never even really seen or played with before. We're going to demo this here. Tell us a little bit about what we're going to play with here.
Okay, well, it's called Typability, and it teaches the blind, visually impaired how to type. Not only that, but how to navigate in documents and dialogues and menus, and in documents how to edit through and how to get around, navigate with the arrows and the control arrows and the navigation keys and select, copy, and paste and all that stuff that you need in order to create documents and edit.
It's a little more than just a typing tutor, and we're going to play with this in just a second. It's running here on a Windows computer. Does it design just for JAWS or with any screen reader? Or?
It can work with JAWS Magic and then in a couple of weeks with Zoom Text.
Okay.
Well, Zoom cool. Text Fusion.
You know, we could talk about it. Let's play with it. This would be more fun. So
sure.
I'm going to hit enter here and we're going to...
Typability dialogue. Edit Typability. Type your full name dialogue. Good afternoon and welcome to Typability 4. Now, if you are the awesome bargain bee, then just press enter right now and your typability session will begin. But if you are not bargain bee, then either you or your assistant should type your first name, then a space, and then the first letter of your last name, and finally, just press enter. Then, bingo, your lesson will begin. Are you ready to do that? Just type your first name.
Good. So we.
I loved how you play with the voice there, and it's all...
Yeah, you know. A lot of effort and time and energy has gone into pitch and speed changes, as you'll see, even mm-hmm. more so that we're using eloquence right now.
Sure.
So it's as eloquent as eloquence.
As eloquence, yes.
Yeah.
And as you can tell, we were playing with this a little bit before the recording, so I am bargain B, so I will press enter.
It'll remember you if you press enter.
It's very nice of it.
Enter. Well, hello, Bargain. It's just lovely to see you once again. Wow, I just saw you earlier today. Welcome back. Now, would you like to go to the last lesson that you were working on? It was lesson 88. You were playing the game where you correct words and sentences that have been misspelled. Well, if you do want to go to lesson 88, press F2 twice quickly.
Let's come back to... No, I did not do all lessons 1 through 87, just for full disclosure. But why don't we go back to maybe like one of the early lessons, and we can come back to one of these.
So let me explain something.
Sure.
First of all, the earliest lesson, the first lesson, is not about FJ in the home row. That comes later.
Why is that?
Well, let's take a look. Let's say this first time that you touch this keyboard, what would be the easiest thing to find? The bottom row? Or
right.
The space, mm-hmm. obviously, that's the easiest. Or the top row. So the things that we teach first is the top row and the space. And it just so happens, that's the first thing you learn. Well, once you've learned those keys at the top row, the function keys.
Right.
Those are the very keys that stop, start, and pick lessons in Typability.
Ah.
Typability is run by the function keys.
Cool.
So it's a wonderful combination. So the helper at this point, who is only necessary the first three or four lessons, by the way, then the student will be on their own, will actually go ahead and go to the beginning by pressing F3 twice quickly.
I'll
so
do that.
Why don't you do that, Jay?
Yep. Bargain, this is the pick a lesson or task dialogue, and it contains a list of the keyboarding lessons and games. So, just arrow to the lesson or game you want and press enter to start it. You're
good.
Now at the top of the level 1, 2, new letters from the home row A, S, D, F, J,
Let's
K, L, O.
Go up one.
Okay.
1. The top row, escape and function keys F1, F2, F3, F4, F5.
Press
close.
Enter.
Start it. Lesson 1. The top row, escape and function keys F1, F2, F3, F4, F5. Alright, in this very first lesson, you will be learning how to type in the very top row of keys. In the top row of keys, you will learn how to find the escape key and also some other keys called function keys.
Now I'm going to press a control because we're doing an interview, not a complete
sure.
tutorial.
Yep.
But at this point, the helper would guide the student to the escape key.
Show them where it is.
Show them where it is.
Yep.
And then the helper would press F1 twice, which happens to repeat the current instructions. So I'll pretend that I'm the helper, and
okay.
let me do that, okay?
Okay.
So I'll run.
Type escape, then space.
Now you.
All right.
Press F.
Escape, all space. Good. Again, type escape, then space. Escape, right. V, no, type space.
Uh-oh.
Space, there you go. Again, type escape, escape space. You got it. One last time, escape space. Wonderful. Next, you will be typing escape, F1.
Right.
than space.
Now, there's a lot of humor built into this, including this delightful stutter. However, there's user preferences, which it says, don't do that kind of thing. Just give me the straight, you know. But
some,
you know,
students prefer, or because you could tailor towards kids or adults too, right?
Right. But look at a lot of the adults, they just get used to it. In fact, when they turn it off, they say, well, I'm an adult. And they say, ah, I miss that stutter. I miss the juvenile humor.
Right. Everyone's a kid.
Now, press F2 twice quickly. Now you've learnt that and see what it does.
Next lesson. Lesson 2. New letters from the home row. A, S, D, F, J, K, L. All right. In this lesson, you will be learning how to type letters in the home row. The home row is two rows above the bottom row of the keyboard. So
and then it starts explaining the home row. Which
exactly.
Is
so let's go ahead and now you know how to use the top row. Repeat the instructions that we interrupted with F1.
F1 twice, mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm. Type F, then space.
So let's just do that a couple of times.
F, alt, space, good. Again, type F, then space.
Now this I thought was cool. If we touch one of the letters, say that's to the left or the right of the F.
Yes. So let's. It's asking for a F.
Let's press a D.
D, but you're really close. Type F, that's F, as in Frank. The F is to the right of the D, and it has a tiny bump on it.
So it noticed the letter that I typed incorrectly and tells me where the F is in relation to the D. I think that's really cool.
Yeah. It's really strict about fingering also. So, and then another fun, let's just talk about humor. Let's go ahead and deliberately hit the wrong thing, not
H,
the F.
Not quite, bar I, no, bargain, type F, that's Y. Oopsie, whoopsie, bargain, type F, that left bracket. Hold your horses, type F, that's F, as in Fran. 8, jeepers, creepers, bargain, 6, holy moly, type F, T, whoa, for goodness sake, bargain, comma, holy macaroni, type F, 6, Jiminy Crickets, bargain, dash, E, gad, step I, wowie, owie,
how many
goodness
of these
gracious,
are there?
Bar T, oh no, not again,
oh,
type F, K, H, I, T, F, K-O-I-A-H, jeepers, creepers, bargain.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, eventually it says, you must be kidding. Get real. Okay, so that's that, and then the next lesson after that, we'll take the home row words and put them, you know, I mean the home row letters and put them into words.
Can we do the race thing? That's pretty cool.
Good, let's go to the next lesson
okay. And
get a word that we'll race.
Next lesson. Lesson 3, word practice.
Actually, I'm going to go to the next one. We're
next lesson. Lesson 4, more word practice. The home row. All right, in this lesson, you will be typing words again, and the letters in these words will only be the letters that you have learned.
Okay.
So go ahead and press F1 to repeat, because you interrupted.
You're typing the word all. It's spelled A-L-L, then press space.
All right, so let's explain this race thing.
Right. Now, during the lesson, you can break off and just work the word that you're working on. How's that for alliterative?
Right, yep.
And just run a race on it and see how fast you can type that single particular thing, whether it be a word or a phrase or a sentence. Right now, it's the word all. So you press F5 twice quickly.
Uh-oh.
Bargain, are you ready to rumble? Cause as soon as you start typing the word all, type ability will start timing exactly how fast you type. Then, when you hear bells or a car honk, stop typing and type ability will tell you how fast and how accurately you...
I can type the word all over and over.
Okay, Bargain, you type 63 words per minute and your accuracy was 76%.
Because I
put a bunch of spaces in.
Yeah, you had
a la 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 la. Yeah.
But that was very good. Now, to return, to do it, run it again, you press F5 twice, or to return the lesson, press F2 twice.
Got you.
Next task, now type the word fall, then
so,
space.
So, you're in the next step. Now, typing is wonderful. You have to have it, but you also be able to correct your mistakes and navigate.
Yes.
So, very, very early on, you start learning how to use the arrow keys and the delete key and backspace key. So let's get to the first lesson where you learn how to navigate and how JAWS announces where the typing cursor is.
Okay.
So rather than go increment by increment, next lesson, which is F2 twice, let's open a list of the lessons and find that first editing. That's F3 twice.
Bargain, this is the pick a lesson or task dialogue. Just two
so
new
it's,
letters
it's
from the home
lesson,
row. A, S, D, F, J, K, L, O.
So you can just do 1, 2.
12.
Oh, okay, that's
game one.
Part of that.
Find the missing letter, then type it. Closed.
Okay. Find the missing letter.
Enter.
There we go.
Game 1. Alright, this is the first of many fun games you will be playing. You will be given 10 tasks, and each task is worth 100 points. So the top score is 1,000 points.
Now I'm going to interrupt. Okay. Press F1 twice just to see what you're supposed to do.
Add the letter E so that the word becomes the name of a reptile with no legs that slithers on the ground.
So, you're going to use your right hand, not arrows.
S-N-S-N-A-K, blank.
Snack becomes snake.
And then press up arrow to hear it.
Snake.
Sounds good to me. Mm-hmm. Enter?
Yep.
Enter, snake. Papa beautiful, 100 points, task 2. Okay, add the letter E so that the word becomes the name of a delicious fruit that you can score. O-O-R-A-N-G, blank, E, or enter, orange. Tarararararipa, 200 points, task 3. Okay.
So you can keep, yeah, you're right. So you're learning, and the later ones will have you actually have you doing selecting text, like you were saying. And
yes. Now let's go through these games a couple of more to okay. show how deep it gets. So I'll press
escape. Dialogue closed.
I'll press F3
now,
twice.
You want to go back to where we were at before?
This is
88
a
pick or one of those?
Dialogue.
Sure. So just press 88.
Yeah, don't arrow down to 88.
88, 80. Word practice with the letter B.
Oh.
88.
81.
Okay.
Word
sorry,
practice.
There we go.
88.
There we go.
Game 12. Sentences. Enter. Game 12. Okay, in this game you will find words that are not spelled correctly, so you will have to erase the wrong letters with either the delete or the backspace key, then type the correct letters.
Okay, press the up arrow just to hear it.
My kitty pat is hiding in the corner of my bedroom.
Okay. Yeah, my kitty pat.
Now you're going to be using all sorts of things. You're going to be using not just the single arrow keys, but control left and right, which is word by word. You're going to be using also select, control shift right arrow, control shift left arrow, in order to select
to get rid of your duplicate word that you had
that's
there.
That's a lot of stuff,
but really important stuff. And I see that a lot of students that struggle with trying to edit a Microsoft Word document or other things like that. So these type of things become really important. Absolutely.
Yes, and by that time, they've learned all of their navigation, page up, page down, home and end. So if they find out, for instance, right now,
my bedroom period,
that they're near the end, they just press the home, and they're navigating to the beginning of the sentence so they can start going through it. So
my kitty pat.
Obviously, that's that. Why don't you continue, RJ?
My kitty pat is I-A-T.
Pat.
Kitty pat A. Back C. Cat is hiding in the corner. O. Backspace. C. The corner of my. My. Select delete of my. Bedroom. My.
My.
Select delete of my bedroom. Blank. Enter. My kitty cat is hiding in the corner of my bedroom. Let's try that again. Find the wrong letters and extra words.
So
delete
there was
them
one
and when
mistake. Let's see how fast you can find it.
My kitty cat is hiding. My bedroom. My of my space.
Oh,
my
space. You didn't do the dead room. You kept the dead room, brother.
My bedroom. D.
Oh, now I would have to refix it.
E.
To go. Okay.
Back yeah. D. Bedroom. My still. My up horn. The horn. O. Back C corner. The it. I it. At kitty cat. A. Back C. Enter. My kitty cat is hiding in the corner of my bedroom. There you go. 80 points. Task 2. All right, same deal.
Yeah, right. And okay. The next one is fun, you know, it's...
The basketball bounced so high, it hit the kneeling.
No, so, you know, it's all designed to... You know what it's saying, but it's kind of like...
Escape. Dialogue closed.
So those are that, you know, and if we go into this and just take a look at the list with F3...
Mm-hmm. This is the pick a list end, 99. Num lock on. Typing numbers with num lock on.
So
closed.
Now you get to do all
does
that.
Everything. Got
and then
you.
98. The Jaws key. Part 2. Jaws key plus another numpad.
Now, something I didn't tell you about this lesson, that it is a tree view. So for a right arrow.
Open. 98. Level 2. Root PC cursor to Jaws cursor. Jaws key plus numpad plus. Root Jaws to PC cursor. Jaws key
tasks.
Plus numpad minus.
Jaws commands.
Lock
yeah.
Right mouse button. Jaws key plus numpad
so
star.
So you
three.
Are learning Jaws.
Level
you closed. Are learning how to do it.
96. The number 94. Game
all
open.
The sorts of punctuation that you will need.
Here are my most recent typing act.
Any rate, let's get out of the lessons.
Escape
list.
Dialogue.
Stay tuned. You'll hear more about some of the extended features of typability on a future episode of the BB Cast.
Hey, how's it going? We're back in the Blind Bargains Test Kitchen, I guess, if you will. Today, playing with the Nutribullet Blender. The Nutribullet is not necessarily a new product, but it's definitely one that's been gaining a lot of attention over the past few years as more people are getting into creating healthy smoothies and doing juicing and things like that. So I've been getting interested in this idea as well. I didn't really want to spend $300-$400 on a Vitamix or a BlendTec those big, nice juicers that are out there. At least not yet, because I wanted to see what I was getting into and what the differences would be. So I got a Nutribullet, which is about a $70 blender. Now, it's a little bit different than your average blender, and it really is designed for making smoothies. Here's how it works. You have a base, which is the actual, it's a very cylindrical and vertical standing thing, about a foot high, and that is where all the power comes from. There's only one speed. There's no buttons on this thing at all. You activate it kind of in a different way. So what else it comes with is a couple of cups. So the bigger one, which I've been using, is a 24-ounce cup. So I've taken it here. I have cut up a peach and put it in. I have also put in some Greek yogurt, a little bit of spinach just to keep this whole thing honest, and some unsweetened coconut milk, which is a great base for smoothies. And I also threw in a couple of ice cubes. And as you'll hear in a minute, the ice cubes will definitely slow it down a little bit, but it can eventually get through the ice cubes. So it's kind of a little bit backwards, especially at first if you're not used to this. What you do is you take the blade, which is a separate contraption. It's also about an inch vertical. It has four blades, or four cutting areas, if you will, that will spin around. What you do is you're going to take that and you screw it on the top of this 24-ounce thing, which I'm going to do right now. So I'm screwing it on until it is tight. And then you flip it over. So yes, you're actually going to flip the cup so that the bottom is now the top and the top is now the bottom. But of course, the blade's on it and it's all airtight, so you're just fine. And what we're going to do is we're going to flip it over and it's going to set on top of the aforementioned base. And as soon as I set it down, so now it's in place, what I need to do is kind of push down on it and turn clockwise slightly. It's going to sense that it locks in place. And once I do that, you're going to hear it start blending. It's going to just take a few seconds for most of it. The couple of ice cubes that I threw in are going to slow it down. You're going to hear it kind of mesh on them for a little bit. But let's see what happens. I'm going to push it down. And you have to make sure you push, you turn it until you kind of line up on these little divots, which I've done. Now I push down. And pretty good. I'm not so sure about the ice cubes, so let's just put it down. I think we got it. So we're going to pick this thing back up, turn it back right side up. We'll unscrew the blade. Which, yeah, there we go. Then we can wash that in a minute. We can wash all this in a sink or a dishwasher, whatever you want to do. And, aha, we have a pretty liquefied smoothie. So you also have a handle that will come with this, which I'm now screwing that on. So I have a handle and a nice pitcher about being 16, 18 ounces, so it's two-thirds full maybe, of liquid. It's pretty good. You can definitely taste the spinach, but not too badly, depending on how much you want to or don't want to taste the spinach. I've been trying to find ways to sneak in vegetables and other things into smoothies and learning a lot along the way about what works and what doesn't. A few tips that I've come up along the way. One, you definitely need to put in enough liquid or more liquidy things so you have enough for the smoothie maker blender to work with. So I've been adding a lot of coconut milk or just regular milk or other things because that will give it enough liquid for the other materials and ingredients that you throw in to move around. If you just threw it all fruit and ice, you're going to have it, it's going to be too solid. It isn't going to work well. Yogurt's a great help as well for some of this, but you often need to put in something else as well. That really helps. If you try to put in a whole bunch of ice cubes, it's going to take a little bit longer. It would work better with smaller ice cubes as well. And then just kind of figure out what works together. Different kinds of fruits go together, different vegetables go together. There are recipes galore all over the internet, of course, for blending and juicing and things like that. So you can find all sorts of different things. So mine came with this 24-ounce cup, a 16-ounce cup, and a handle, along with the blade and the actual blending part. The blade they say you're supposed to replace every 6 months. We'll see what happens. I've had it for about a month so far. The replacements are about $20, so it is one of those things that you're going to end up replacing them every so often, but I'm okay with that. I'd rather be able to replace it than not, so I'm okay with being able to replace the blades. I could also buy replacement cups, and you can buy lids for these cups as well, so you could turn it into a travel set. Depending on where you buy your Nutribullet from, some of these sets come with lids. Mine did not, so just be careful with that. There's a couple different models of the Nutribullet to look out. This one has 600 watts of power. If I had to do it over again, the Nutribullet Pro is about $20-$30 more and comes with 900 watts of power. And watts for blending is not everything, but it's certainly, I think, a little more power wouldn't hurt. The 900-watt Nutribullet would also support a 32-ounce cup accessory if you wanted to get that. Speaking of Nutribullets, there is also a product they make called the Magic Bullet. I would advise against that from looking at the reviews and from seeing different things online. The Magic Bullet, even though it is made by Nutribullet, has less watts than the 600. It's actually 3 to 350, depending on which one you get. So a lot of people are saying it's just not powerful enough for what you need. So it's not worth saving $5-$10 to go for the Magic Bullet. Go for at least the Nutribullet. The other question that comes up is this thing versus the more expensive ones, the Vitamix or the Blendtec, which is famous for the wonderful YouTube videos, Will It Blend? Those are really funny. Go watch them if you haven't already. They throw everything from an iPad to, well, another blender in to see how well they blend. But anyway, those things are powerful. The Blendtec, one of the models at least, is 1,560 watts. The Vitamix is around 1,350, 1,400. One of the big differences you will find, those will make juices out of everything, especially if you're doing things, say, like carrots. If you do carrots in this thing, you're going to end up with carrot pulp, which is fine, depending on what you're looking for. If you're going to do carrots in a juicer, like the Vitamix or the Blendtec, you will be more likely to end up with carrot juice, although the pulp will kind of get extracted and thrown off into its own little compartment. So, depending on what you're looking for, I'm okay with the smoothie consistency of things, and I do a little more fruit than vegetable anyway, so I'm totally fine with the power of this thing, and I don't feel like I need the more expensive ones that are 3-4 times the cost. The other thing that I've read a lot about the higher-end ones is because there's a lot more moving parts, it's a lot harder to clean, and you have a lot more to deal with there. And it's going to take more time. Where this thing, as you heard, I just unscrewed it. Well, now I have a cup with my drink, which I'll wash out. I have the blade here, which I will just, you know, put that in the sink and run that through some soapy water. The same thing with the handle. And that's it. That base part, where all the power is in this blender, that never gets touched. You don't have to wash that because no liquid is ever touching that thing. So you don't have to wash the base at all. So it's really simple, and everything just about can be replaced. I can get new cups, I can get more cups, I can get new blades. Everything can be replaced and swapped in and out over time. So I'm pretty impressed early on. We'll see how things work out in a few months or a year, if things are still holding up to form. But generally speaking, it seems like with products, they're either going to break right away if they're, you know, made badly, or they're going to break a long time into the future. I've been pretty impressed. I've made probably 15, 20 different smoothie concoctions and things with this smoothie maker blender so far, the Nutribullet, and I've been pretty happy with it. Everything has gone to form. Everything has pretty much come out as I experiment. Some things are too liquidy or too solidy, so you have to kind of figure out what works best. But I've really been happy so far with everything that has come out. Like I said, I got the 600-watt Nutribullet. You might look at the Pro if you want a little bit more power than this, and it's not that much more. Cost me $69 for the regular Nutribullet, where the Pro is probably $89.99. We'll link to those from the show notes, of course, where you can buy them, and we'll find you some decent deals, and we'll link to them over at blindbargains.com. Well, I have this wonderful peach spinach yogurt smoothie. I am going to go enjoy it now. So you enjoy the rest of the podcast.
While you installed the Windows 10 Creators Update, good for you, you listened to our advice at the top of the show. One thing that does, though, it leaves around a lot of files. We're talking gigs and gigs of files, and you don't really need these files. So what we're going to do is get rid of them using one of the classic tools in Windows called Disk Cleanup. We're going to start it up here by pressing the Windows key.
Cortana window, search box edit, blank.
And typing in D-I-S-K.
Disk cleanup, desktop app 1 of 12.
You might need to type a little bit more if you have other apps in that space, but enough to hear disk cleanup. We're going to press enter.
Disk cleanup 4, C, dialog, disk cleanup property page. You can use disk cleanup to free up to 3.38 GB of disk space on C. Total amount of disk space you gain, 17.8 MB. How does disk cleanup work?
Okay, the 3 gigs it's talking about here, that's not even the Windows files. We're going to tab here.
Description, group and download, view files, button, alt plus V.
View files, I'm actually going to then arrow.
Clean up system files, button, alt plus S.
I pressed up arrow to get clean up system files. This is the ones we're going to go after here.
Dialog, stop button.
And now it's going to see all of these system files. It's kind of verifying through them. And we're going to find that the Windows 10 Creators Update and perhaps other updates over time has left a lot and lot of garbage.
Disk cleanup for dialog. Disk cleanup property page. You can use disk cleanup to free up to 21.9 GB of disk space on
Whoa.
C. Total amount of disk space you gain, 17.8 MB. How does disk cleanup work?
We have a few more files here now. We went from 3 gigs to 21 gigs. Let's arrow through files some of this list.
Windows Defender Antivirus checkbox selected, not checked, 46.2 MB. Windows Upgrade Log Files checkbox selected, not checked, 240 MB.
So notice a lot of this stuff isn't checked, so don't even worry about it. You can check it if you want to. We'll actually check this and some of the others.
Checked. Windows Defender checked. Windows Downloaded Program Files checkbox check selected, 0 bytes. Temporary Internet Files checkbox check selected, 13.8 MB.
Those would be higher if you used Internet Explorer.
Offline Web Pages checkbox selected, not checked, 17.2 KB. Checked. System Created Windows Error Reporting Files checkbox selected, not checked, 266 KB. Checked. DirectX Shader Cache checkbox selected, not checked, 0 bytes.
Still getting to the one that I'm really looking for
Delivery
here.
Delivery Optimization Files checked. Device Driver Packages checkbox check selected, 0 bytes. Previous Windows installation, S, checkbox selected, not checked, 17.2 GB.
Whoa, 17.2 gig. Why would you want to save these? Well, maybe you're in a certain environment, maybe you're in a business environment where you might need to downgrade to the previous version of Windows. But for most users, you're not going to need to downgrade back to the regular version of Windows 10 or even Windows 7 or something earlier than this. So I'm going to clear up 17.2 gigs of space by checking this box. Don't worry, it's going to ask you to confirm before you do anything.
Checked. Recycle bin checkbox selected, not checked, 3.33 GB.
There's a recycle bin. I usually leave that unchecked just for safety, and I can go back and get those things.
Retail demo offline content checkbox selected, not checked, 16.6 MB. Checked. Temporary files checkbox selected, not checked, 9.42 MB.
There's one more we're going to find here, though.
Checked. Temporary Windows installation files checkbox selected, not checked, 1.07 GB.
1.07 gig of temporary Windows installation files. Basically, files that it needed to use to get Windows installed and up and running. We're going to get those out of here as
checked.
Well.
Thumbnails checkbox check selected, 4.00 MB.
Need thumbnails. And that's it. So I've got rid of a lot of stuff here.
How does this cleanup work?
Click. Let's tab and then shift tab.
Files to delete list. Thumbnails checkbox check selected. 4.0 MB. Tab control. Disk cleanup. Disk cleanup property page. You can use disk cleanup to free up to 21.9 GB of disk space on C. Total amount of disk space you gain. 18.6 GB.
How does we're going to gain 18.6 gig out of the 21.9. Most of it, what we're not getting is the recycle bin, which I'm fine with. We're going to tab over to.
How does the OK button?
OK.
Press disk cleanup dialog. Are you sure you want to permanently delete these files? Delete files button.
Yes.
Press. Disk cleanup dialog, cleaning up drive, C, delivery optimization files cleaning.
And there it goes, off deleting all these files and taking back some of the space on my hard drive. So you could do this too, by following the instructions that we just gave
you. Disk cleanup dialog, if you clean up the previous Windows installations or temporary installation files, you will no longer be able to restore the machine back to the previous version of Windows. Are you sure that you want to do this? No button, alt plus N.
So notice it's giving you several confirmations and prompts just to make sure this is what you want to do. So there's no worry about breaking things, you just say yes with what you want to get rid of. But yes, you can get back a lot of space on your hard drive by using disk cleanup. Send your tips to feedback@blindbargains.com.
Disk cleanup dialog, cleaning up drive, C, previous Windows installation, S, clean and cancel button.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback@blindbargains.com or tweet us at blindbargains.
We are here for the cards and letters and, all right, just the emails and the tweets that you send to us. feedback@blindbargains.com, as you heard just a moment ago. Benjamin writes in about money. Oh, I like this. Benjamin Money, all about the Benjamins. Okay, never mind. See what I did there. He is saying that, you know, in the tip I did last week, we talked about how some apps might be going away. The rumor going around is iOS 11 is going to do away with support for 32-bit apps, and so a lot of legacy apps might fall by the wayside. And
iOS 10.3.2 is dropping the iPhone 5 and 5C, it looks like. So
that is true, which is weird that that's happening in
now.
mid-cycle update.
Yeah.
Now, there were three apps. I didn't mention this on the tip last week. So the three apps on my iPad that were affected were Ear Monsters. Yeah, it's not a great game. We actually featured it on one of the Halloween shows. Destino Games Collection. That is sad. I like that.
Hopefully he can.
Hopefully that can get updated. And then some app by some guy we might know this guy. Audio Archery.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That app is actually on the list.
Call for, him up, Liam.
Yeah.
Tweet him at Liam Mervin.
Some gadget
at Elworks
dude.
Games.
Yep. Yeah. Let him know. that you heard on the Blind Bargains. Oh God, he'll kill us. So you should have told me.
We'll see if how many tweets come to that.
We'll see if that, yeah, because we haven't told him. We're just doing this live. Yep. But Benjamin says that apparently the Bureau of Engraving app might be one of those that might also be up against the wall.
But it wasn't on your list, or do you not have it installed?
I do not have that installed on the iPad.
But at any rate, we have a recommendation from him from another app called, is that Nant? N-A-N-T?
Yeah, Money Reader? I'm going to go with that because certainly speech is going to eat that alive.
Nant Mobile Money Reader. So aside from the fact that if the Bureau app is staying or going, this has support for 21 currencies. So if you happen to be carrying around some Russian rupees?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. You say that, and all I do is think
about Belarusian rubles.
There you go. You're making me think of
some Japanese yen, some Saudi Arabian real
money from Zelda and the Zelda series. Of course, we're playing Final Fantasy in the house now, so it'd be Gill, G-I-L-L. So
no Bitcoin. But anyway, this is a free app that we will link to on the show notes, and it was updated a little more recently, so in 2016. So it certainly is going to be working with iOS version 11. So we do appreciate the app tip. Always cool to have those. And if you have other older apps, let us know what you're finding, and we'll see if we can bug some more developers on Twitter.
Yeah, oddly enough, it isn't any of the something else games. I thought for sure it was going to be things like the Nightjar and Audio Defense and the like, but no, that and those are gone from the App Store. We actually had someone asking us on Twitter about the opportunity to find some of those old games. I was very depressed to see that you can't re-download those from the App Store. They are just gone. And that is a real shame because those were some great games. There's still some audio from YouTube and other places to be able to hear it. I think some of the guys on the audiogames.net forum have that. There are ways to retain those games, but I don't highly recommend anybody jailbreaking, and that's what you would have to do in order to get to some of that stuff. And some of that stuff is illegal, and that's not something that we talk about on the podcast. But there are ways to try and get those games if you are absolutely hell-bent for grabbing them. Lydia writes in and talks about hearing one of the episodes, and she was talking about how hearing voices on products, she had this thought, wouldn't it be fun to be able to have one of your voiceovers and voices on the products? And she asked if we would want to and what would we like to hear, and she would one day like to hear, as a PS, Patrick's voice coming out of a watch.
This is the first time this has been mentioned. That's
yeah. It comes up every, at least once a year, I would say. My answer to this is no. I don't think I would want that. Ricky has no problems in doing it. She's already done it, in fact. So that's kind of interesting. Yeah,
and as we said, she's going to be coming in another thing soon as well. Mm-hmm. Ricky's going to be in the product. So yeah, I'm good. I don't feel like I need to be the voice. I mean, if it was narrating a tutorial or something, that's one thing. But I don't want to be the voice of a clock or, you know, like
despite
the,
what people have said for most of my career going back to 1988 in college radio, I am not entertained by the sound of my own voice. Mm. And so there's, I do public speaking, and
yeah, we talk enough.
I don't necessarily want to hear my own voice coming back at me because I'm not always thrilled with my own voice. So that can have some, but that a lot of voiceover artists feel the same way.
Yeah.
But no, the only time that I was really thrilled with it was when I was, my brother was a little leaguer and all the way up into minor league baseball. And I was able to actually call some of his games as the stadium announcer. Now that was super cool. That was like the epitome. One of my check marks of my professional broadcasting career was to be able to do that. Also, this might be too old of reference for you, Jay, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. One of his opening games, a very famous Astro, Mr. Jose Cruz, came to throw out the opening pitch. And, you know, as a guy who grew up, you know, in the Astrodome, I was very familiar with the way that they actually said his name, which is, you know, now batting Jose Cruz. And then just long that out, right? Mm-hmm. And I did that as he approached to throw out the opening pitch. I was like, you know, you know, now pitch to throw out the opening pitch. And I did that, and my mom said you couldn't see it, but he had a smile like 10 feet wide. So I was able to go up and shake his hand afterwards. And he's like, I hadn't heard that in years. You made my day. So for me, that was, you know, a big thing.
Well
and,
done.
And be able to do that. But that is probably one of those things where a lot of people feel kind of the same way, Lydia, but it would be interesting. We surmised years ago, Jamie, Ricky, and I on a show talked about how we were afraid that there were already soundboards, and then that's kind of how the outtakes really took off.
Oh, yeah. My voice is in enough spots.
Patrick and Derek created those, and off we went.
Yep, that's where they are left. I'm looking at the website over at Blind Bargains and to see a couple comments on especially the USPS story.
Oh, yes.
From last week. Jay Akis, Justin, he said, fortunately, the scan images weren't OCRing too well for him. This is the story about how the post office is delivering emails with the scanned copies of your mail that we talked about last week. He says, keep in mind, you get messages of all the mail sent to your house, not just you, of course. So I guess it depends on the OCR program. I'd be interested in seeing which OCR program you were using. And once it is the 14th, I might see if I can try to sign up here and see how that works. So, you know, it's not going to be a service for everyone. Yes, you still have to OCR the mail. It would be even cooler if they did it for you. But if you don't, I'm sitting here by a computer, and my only methods for acquiring images are my built-in webcam or taking a picture of my phone and bringing it over. So, yeah, OCR is still a step I would have to do here, but it would, you know, I think I would like to at least try it and see, you know, it might not work on all mail, but if it works on even half of it, it could be kind of interesting just kind of to know what's up. So we talked about that more last week, and you can leave comments for anything over at blindbargains.com.
So the new blind apocalypse moment in the community that I witnessed was not anything about Crafting Kingdom, although my timeline is filled with a lot of people playing that. It was not that Bard is down. That's usually a good one. That can usually take up my timeline a lot. No, it's what do I do when my KNFB reader isn't working? So there must have been like a minor outage for just a moment on KNFB side with the server and stuff. And my goodness, the number of people who did not think about, you know, having a backup or a secondary option, you know, was just kind of crazy. Now, I say that, of course, but recently with the Apple update, there was the two-factor authentication, and it was very interesting to see other people, not just people in our community, but people outside the community who had left their Mac at home. And so the Mac was auto-updating, or they were updating the phone, and it was, we sent a code to your other Apple device. Please enter in that code. If you're not near that device, that becomes
kind of problematic. But it's halfway across the country. I don't have my other...
Yeah, and that was actually the tweet I saw was a screen capture, and somebody said, you know, my Apple Mac is about 100 miles away, and not Johnny Ive, which is a parody account, said, it just works. And so there was that. Now, in the last word, I have avoided
these things.
YouTube clips for a while. But in the last week, I came across one that I was totally enamored with. I'm going to let Patrick play editor's choice here and just choose a section out of this.
Which of the parts will he pick of this thing?
I wonder. There are several.
Have we featured him before?
I believe we have for something different.
Different song. Yeah, no, I know. So yeah. This is a guy who does these things, these covers of songs. I mean, what songs.
But these are like 10-second segments, and it changes into a different, you know, singer / style. And
yeah, all over the place. Sly and the Family Stone, Depeche Mode, Guns N' Roses, a few Fugees, Frank Zappa, Bob Marley, the Naughty Frank by Zappa Nature.
One's really good. The Korn one is really good.
Slipknot, the Rage Against John Williams. The Machine
one. Yeah, the Slipknot one is pretty decent. But he does really good for Disturbed and Korn and
Bone Thugs and Harmony.
The Frank Zappa one is dead on. It was like very much like out of Apostrophe. You know,
he's got a bunch of stuff. We'll have to put a link.
Super
up to the
talented
channel.
Dude. His ends with Ozzy, which is just crazy. But it definitely
it's fun
worth a
to
listen.
Even though I just half ruined it for you. It's usually fun to listen to it and see how many you can get, and then come back. Keep your motto, receive your less. Unimpressed by material excess. Love is free.
rock a little know-how. No time for the piggies of the Hooscow. Get smart, get down with the powwow. There's never been a better time than right now.
Now that I ruined that for you, but yes, Anthony Vincent is the guy, the gentleman who does these. And if you subscribe to his 10-second songs channel on YouTube, he's done Adele. He did the Mariah Carey "All I Want for Christmas Is You" song. That was probably one of my favorites, with all the, you know, the chipmunks and everything else in it. lots of cool stuff. So definitely, it's one of the more talented YouTube things that we've done.
I don't think. Now we featured fashion. Before we went to the interviews, it seems like fashion has found a way into the last word.
Well, we've also featured a lot of smart devices this year, right? We started this trend with the shower and the toaster and other various things this year. And so now we figure we tie the two together uplift our coverage of these things a little bit.
Give it more support.
To separate that from others, but
right, yeah, that's what I was looking for. The Everyday Smart Bra, your intuitive wellness coach, is now available on Kickstarter. $19,152 of $50,000 so far, so they're almost halfway go, and they have a 101 backers, or should that be fronters?
Well, it depends, right?
33 days to go. I guess it's a bra that's designed to kind of monitor you. It's a sports bra and monitor your signs, especially as you are resting, to relay vital information.
Well, it's closer to many parts of the pulmonary system, your cardiac area. It certainly could monitor your expansion of breathing, and might be a little better than having something on your wrist tracking.
They have a video. I'm not sure if we should even.
Sure. That might be interesting.
Well, let's try running that.
Okay.
This is Vitally, the world's first fashionable, comfortable smart bra that helps you live a well-balanced life. Stress begins in the body before it reaches the mind. But by the time we realize it, it's too late, and we already feel its effects. Vitally detects these early signs by monitoring your breath, posture, and HRV. And its sensors are made of fabric, so they have all the accuracy of traditional sensors, while being much more comfortable for all-day wear.
Now, with a lot of this, I have been very much on the idea of, okay, I can see a market for that. I don't think it's a crazy idea, just like the $2,000 Bluetooth shower. I came up with some ideas of why that would work. I don't think this is a crazy idea either.
What would you pay?
How much would you pay?
If you're buying one of these for Ricky.
But with any of these devices, I mean, again, is it going to be a sensor that has to be removed from it? Can you wash it? You know, what's the durability? The length?
This includes a kit. A smart bra, a gem, a charger. So what I'm not clear on is how much of that can you swap out for? Right, that's one bra.
Mm-hmm.
I would assume you'd want to wear than one bra.
For men who don't know, those can be very expensive when purchasing them for others of any capacity that stuff isn't cheap. Look, as dudes, we have it pretty cheap when it comes to that kind of fashion. Or at least we have the ability to. Thank you, Walmart. There are some of us who may go above and beyond in that situation.
Well, back to the retail. What would you pay? The retail of this thing? What do you think? You know, these things are always a little expensive, right?
Yeah, I'm going to say, because of the added functionality and stuff, it's going to be somewhere in that $80 range.
$250. But if you buy it on Kickstarter now, super early bird for $129. Uh-huh. So yeah,
only $129.
So are you still in at $130?
So you're telling me for the price of a Google Home, I can have a
smart. You get
smart
one
brassiere.
Kit. You get a kit.
Man's
you get
ear.
A gem.
No, that's it. I want to see the man's ear. Smart man's ear. Let's get it. There we go. The okay. bro.
Well, you let me find it. The bra.
The bro. It's not the bra.
Oh, the
it's
bro.
The bro.
Bro, bro. It's the bro, bro.
Anytime I can make a Seinfeld reference, I'm going to do so. That's just going to happen. It's a classic episode.
We'll have a link to this one in the show notes as well. And absolutely. I think,
and you can find more crazy stories there. Like this by following me on Twitter. I'm going to be talking about Doctor Who a lot because it's happening. It's this Easter weekend. There's new Doctor Who. It's going to be fantastic and wonderful. Anyway, you can follow me over at twitter.com/RangerStation. I also happen to be talking about my newest purchase. Not positively. I got a PlayStation 4, and the TTS is not as good as the Xbox. I'm not trying to play favoritism or start a fanboy. There is none in the Switch.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's none. Yeah. But the new saddest phrase in my life is TTS does not work in that area, which is the phrase it says when it can't read anything, which is about two levels down.
Reminds me of one of the early casts with Nimer and the Samsung watch.
Oh, yes.
Where half of the demo is accessibility not supported.
Yeah. Yeah. It might as well say that. It's very, very, very depressing. But playing around with that, the 14-year-old and I in the house have moved on from Final Fantasy 15 to Persona 5. So there's a lot of tweets over there about gaming and the like. But, you know, that also occasionally has a bunch of accessibility information as well as crazy stories such as these that you heard here in the last word.
You can follow us over at Blind Bargains, twitter.com/blindbargains. I don't know why we say it with the URL, just to be funny and weird. But Joe started doing it, so I figured I'd copy him.
That's true.
You can follow us on Twitter at Blind Bargains. And you can also, of course, go to the Blind Bargains website at blindbargains.com, or if you're lazy, blind.bargains. Hey, I paid to renew that, so why don't you use it? You can also, of course, get the Blind Bargains apps on iOS. And yes, Android is getting updated soon, but the existing one does work. And you can do that. You can email us feedback@blindbargains.com with your comments, suggestions, accolades, suggestions, etc. Or, of course, you can leave feedback on anything over at our posts at blindbargains.com, where we are still working on redesigning the website and making it a little more mobile friendly and visually friendly and all that. So if you have any comments on that regard, you are welcome to send them over as well. Had a great time in Wisconsin near Milwaukee. That was a lot of fun. So cool seeing several of you there. Also hanging out with the NFP folks. President Rick Abono was the national rep there. So always cool to catch up with him, and ended up going to a Brewers game last minute, so that was fun.
I was about to ask if you went to a Bucks game, but okay,
no.
Yeah, that works.
No, they had extra. I ended up changing my. I was going to come back Sunday, and then they're like, "Hey, we have an extra ticket if you want to buy one." I'm like, all right, so I ended up staying around a little bit longer.
Man, and that's awesome. How
it was,
that
it was more Cubs fans than Brewers fans there.
But yeah, well, that makes sense.
You know, it was a fun game, and always cool to do that. We'll be over near Detroit. Maybe we'll see a Tigers game in Livonia at the Michigan AER. That is April 27 and 28. And that's about it for the moment. Maybe more in the summer and the fall. If you happen to be associated with or hosting a conference, convention, other just hugely large event, and it brings in a couple hundred people or more, or even 100 more people or more, let us know about those things, because sometimes we just never hear about them. But maybe we can make an appearance there. So definitely let us know. And of course, the summer shows are coming up.
Man, less than 90 days. Less than 90 days.
No, stop. No, we have lots of shows coming up between now and then. No, we're done. No. Gosh, we'll finish up the
technicality. My birthday is less than 90 days. Woo! That's what that means. Yeah, you say.
We'll finish up the typability demo probably next week, unless we have some really, really breaking news. And I know we're working on some other segments as well, a couple other interviews coming up soon. So stay tuned. We'll have more ideas, and feel free to send us your stuff as well. So really appreciate that. Thanks, Patrick, for not breaking the show and not repeating it over and over. And
And thanks, Test Kitchen. That was awesome.
Yes. I think I'm going to head back over to the Test Kitchen and right after we're done recording and have some more test items.
Air fryer. Air fryer is turning out to be the coolest Christmas gift I ever bought for the family. We use it a lot. That is a crazy thing. We'll have to talk about that.
You didn't do that on here, did you? Did I miss that one?
We have not talked about the air fryer. Randy Resnick is kind of the first person. Him and Debbie Hazleton had it first, and that's where I saw it first and had it in the back of my mind.
If we're ever slow on content for a week, we can always bring the air fryer on.
That's true. We could start like frying things right here and there and do it, and then throw in the Instapot. We'll just make a whole meal out of it, you know.
That's right. We already did the Instant Pot, so we'll just keep doing these. We got most of a meal covered now, so we'll work on it for you.
There you go. Thanks, everybody. You have a wonderful week, and we will see you again on episode 97.
See ya.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2017.
All right, and the show's done there, Patrick. It's good because the train is going to take me away, it looks like.